been with us many times over the years. Fantastic teaching and a great help to us. He's performed an audit for the church books. He's helped me with my office books and been a real strength to us, mostly spiritually, over the many, many years. What, how many years now? 35, 40 years just about? And we're looking younger. Isn't that amazing? Let's give Pastor Ward Correll a real warm welcome, shall we?
Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to be up here suffering with the view you guys have. Waiting until you're cut off from humanity and the bridge goes out. You'll be safe. Yeah. That is exciting. That would be unique, won't it? Know what the pioneers felt like. Cut off from humanity, cut off from... Hallelujah. That'd be good. But we do enjoy our friends up here. It's always a blessing to be with Carl and Sherry and Pastor Kevin. And yeah, it's been a lot of years. A lot of years. I once was young, and now I'm old. But I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The last time we were here, we were talking about the two witnesses. And, you know, as I was thinking about the end time and whatnot, I don't really have a message on the end time where it's one sermon where you tell everything about the end time. To me, the picture is more like the facets on a gemstone. And you look through one view, and then you look through another view, and you look through another view, and you look through another view, and we just gather clues. And the way I study, the way I prepare a message, is I will usually look up every verse in the Bible on a subject. It's a little more exhausting when you deal with praise. When I taught on that years ago for the first time in Zion, there was about 1,800 scriptures I looked up and put them into a study of where, when, how, and why, and all of that. And how God wants to be praised. I find that the Bible is usually the best commentary on the Bible. And oftentimes, guys, we don't realize the glasses that we wear and that we've got glasses. I was raised in the Disciples of Christ. My dad was a Christian church preacher. And back in 1960, he got contaminated with the Holy Spirit. And actually, back then, he was on the cover of Full Gospel Businessmen's Magazine, if any of you remember that magazine that was around for a while. And there was a visitation of God in Spokane on a little Christian church out in the valley. And one summer back there, we held 9 weeks of meetings. I was just participating in a Bible college out of Texas at the time. And in 9 weeks' time, 211 churches visited, people from 211 churches visited that from 9 different denominations. We were keeping track of who was coming and who was doing that. And I've seen some neat things happening. Been around a little while. But the day of the Lord is fascinating to me. And back then I was very anxious for the day of the Lord and sure that I needed to get into the ministry so that I'd have a little bit of time to preach before Jesus came back, because Jesus was going to come back any day. That's a few years ago now. And, you know, back then I was worried that he'd come back before I got married. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to the last days. And I mentioned during the message last week that the day of the Lord was another subject. And Pastor Sherry asked, well, I want the day of the Lord. Then I got up here and was helping them with their books, and last night I was getting into my Bible to find the study that I'd done. It's been a while since I've ministered on the Day of the Lord. I did a series in Zion years ago on it, and I had dug out my notes from years ago and set them aside, you know, to bring up here. Then last night I found out I left my notes on my desk back in Portland. So I got my handy-dandy computer and did the study again. Because actually there's only 31 passages in the Bible where the day of the Lord as a phrase is used. Okay? And we're going to be looking at about half of them this morning. Now, I want you to not worry about your glasses. and preconceived ideas. We had Disciple of Christ glasses and a certain way of looking at things. And you may not be aware of the glasses that you do wear and the interpretations you come to the Bible automatically with. But if I say something today that crosses a little bit of what you've been taught, don't do that to me. Just let's go to the Word and find out what the Bible says. And if the Bible doesn't say it, maybe we better drop it. You know? I was raised in, after we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was raised in a group that didn't believe in doctors or medicine. And I went 9 years without seeing a dentist, without seeing a doctor, without doing medicine. In fact, Pastor Carl probably remembers when I came finally to him. I needed a lot of help back then. But what was interesting, during those days, I was seeing teeth getting filled by the Holy Spirit. I was seeing broken bones set. I was seeing some outstanding miracles on everybody but me. And that'd be interesting. But hallelujah. Father, just cover us with your anointing. Guide us by your Spirit. And help us this morning, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to share. Illuminate us, Lord. Illuminate us more and more. We ask in Jesus' name. Okay, now, in the book of Revelation, that's where we were on the two witnesses. And again, I'm going to give references. I may not give you time to get to all of them, and I ask your forgiveness on that, but I know the message is being taped, so you can go back and check it again and do the references. And do check. Do not only check me out, but check out everybody that preaches.
Absolutely.
And make sure what they say is Bible, okay? Because it's the Bible that lasts forever, not just preaching. You know, it's the Bible that lasts forever. But in the 31 references in the Bible on the day of the Lord, only 5 of them are in the New Testament. The rest are in the prophets. And there's one phrase here in Revelation in the first part, and I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. It's the day of the Lord, but it's not quite said the day of the Lord. Watch for it. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. That's an interesting phrase. Companion in tribulation. Had somebody ask me once, was I going through the great, or if I believed in the great tribulation, or was the church going through the great tribulation? And you know, the idea that the church would escape the tribulation is relatively new, only 100 and some years old. But, you know, John says, I am your companion in tribulation. And through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. But, and in the kingdom of God and the patience of Jesus Christ, continuing the reading, and was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And now listen to this next verse. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I don't think that was just Sunday.
Right.
Because there is a day in the Bible that is known as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And we're going to be looking at scriptures that concern that. But now John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a voice. And guys, the entire book of Revelation is about the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what he gives in the book of Revelation are different pictures from different angles, but it concerns the Lord's day. And what's going to happen on the Lord's day? And there's a voice talking, a voice as of a great trumpet. Now, in Malachi, we read this verse the last time we were here, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, where the prophet says, Behold, I send before you, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Now, oftentimes when we hear that Elijah's coming, its emphasis on turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that really needs to be done. That's part of the work of Elijah. Okay, that really needs to be done. But notice, it's before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The timing is there, having to do with the day of the Lord. In Amos chapter 8, or 5, I need to get my glasses on because that 5 looks like an 8. Okay? Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. 18 to 20, Amos 5. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, for what end is it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not night, even very dark and no brightness in it? There's an aspect of the day of the Lord which Malachi brought out. He says the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, in looking at the day of the Lord in Scripture, you're going to find those two aspects. The great of the Lord, the day of the Lord is great, and the day of the Lord is terrible. Now, here in Amos, the terrible side is brought out. You know, you're looking for the day of the Lord, and all of a sudden, you know, a lion and a bear meet you. Not just a lion, but a lion and a bear. You're in a house, you lean on the wall, and a serpent bites you. You know, there's an aspect of Scripture where everything is shaken, and everything that can be shaken will be removed. Okay, now, guys, we need to prepare for that in our heart and in our lives. Because we might think, well, we're planning for the future, and we're building our future solid, and nothing's going to shake it. And we've got our 401Ks, and we've got our 403Bs, and we've got our retirement all planned. And then in about 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, money takes wings and flies away. And some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will believe and trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. I tell you, the natural things you cannot trust on are in. And by the way, God was entirely for who got elected president. Because He knows where He is in the scheme of things and what is going to happen. And God raises up kings and put king down. You might vote, and I believe in voting, but let me tell you, God is in charge. God is in charge. Hallelujah. Okay, now the day of the Lord is not necessarily what people think. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, another verse on the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now, by the way, Isaiah is one of the prophets who speaks of the day of the Lord. There's four references to the day of the Lord in Isaiah. One in Jeremiah and Lamentations, two in Ezekiel, five in Joel, three in Amos, one in Obadiah, seven in Zephaniah, and one in Malachi. And we've already read the one in Malachi. But Isaiah speaks of it, and he oftentimes gives the terrible side of the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 to 11. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman travaileth, and they shall be amazed at one another, and their faces shall be as flames. And the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Okay. And in Ezekiel, one more verse before I comment on these. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3. For the day of the Lord is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. It shall be the time of the heathen. Okay, now, guys, if you're unaware of it, there's a conflict in this world. And the conflict is between good and evil. There actually is evil. And there actually is good. There's actually an army of the evil, and there's actually an army of the good. And the definition between good and evil, I think society is trying to kind of mess up their lines, you know, and say there is no black and white. There is no good and evil. There's just this nice, ambiguous gray, you know. And everything is acceptable. Well, I find that that's not particularly the way that God describes it in the book. And as the day of the Lord draws nearer and nearer and nearer, I think there's going to be more and more and more separation than coming together in the world. The dark is going to get darker, and the light is going to get lighter. And the day of the Lord shineth more and more and more unto the path of the just shineth more and more and more unto that perfect day.
Right.
Okay? Now, that idea that I'm talking about here in the separation is shown in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. You know, and they're not quite to the Dead Sea where God is going to part the sea and do a miracle, but they're on their way, and all of a sudden Pharaoh decides he's giving up too much manpower. And he says, let's go after them. And so the armies of Pharaoh come, you know, towards the Israelites. The Red Sea is in front of them. The army is behind them. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. They were. Okay? And the reference is in the Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. And it talks there about the angel of the Lord that was with the people of the Lord and the cloud that was with the people of the Lord go from in front where it was leading the people of the Lord and comes around and it's on the backside of the people now instead of leading them. And listen to what this says. It says, and the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front and went behind, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so that neither went near the other all the night long. You know, there's some things that we hear that we just take for granted, you know, like the chariot took Elijah up to heaven, or that Moses stood, you know, with a rod and just parted the Red Sea. We forget about the strong wind that came all night long and blew on the waters. We just are unaware of some of those things. But that, I mean, it's not like we have an ongoing victory. It's like it comes right down to the wire. Have you ever had God wait to answer a prayer? I mean, you're waiting with bated breath saying, go God, now God, now. And God doesn't seem to be as impatient as we are. He lives in eternity. He sees the beginning from the end. And He knows when. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. Jesus came the first time. In the fullness of time, He's coming the second time. In the fullness of time. And we've got the army weighing down. We've got the water weighing down. We don't see an answer. We don't see a way out. But God. Guys, the cloud and the angel comes from before and gets between the enemy and the people of God. It's darkness to one, but it's light to the other. Now, when we talk about the day of the Lord in these verses that are there about The day of the Lord is terrible. And the day of the Lord, and the heavy, heavy, heavy verses on in the Bible about the day of the Lord. You say, Lord, is it going to be like that? I think so. I think the world is going to run out of answers. I don't think they've got the answers anyway. And throwing money at it doesn't fix it. And they're good at printing more money and throwing more money at it. And pretty soon the money's not going to be worth anything, but they'll throw it anyway. I remember the story years ago when this devaluation type thing happened in Argentina. A missionary came from Argentina up to New York City, and the church there had worked and worked and worked and worked and saved and saved and had $40,000, American equivalent, to build a church in Argentina. And it was enough to build a church. And the pastor, before the time to build the church happened, he went up to he went up to New York City to visit. And while he was there, Argentina had a two-digit devaluation, which means they just moved the decimal point 2 points. And $40,000 became $400. So he went up to New York City with enough money to build a church. He came back with 1/100th of his money left. You can't trust in money, and it's not going to fix it. But the darkness is on one side, the light is on the other. The darkness is on one side, the light is on the other. You say, but I'm consumed with fear. Move to the other side of the cloud. Hello? Now, guys, our hearts get attached to stuff. Things that we hold dear. And we can be attached to what we believe is security. But quite honestly, the only security you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His ability to take care of His people regardless. Now, we do our best in planning. We do our best in wisdom. We do our best in frugalness and all the rest of it. But guys, your plans for your future will be a part of it, but they won't be all of it. If you're seeing the darkness and the thunder and the bad side, there is a good side. Move to the other side of the cloud. Move to the other side of the cloud. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel. You follow me with that, guys? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, I want to pick up now some of the positive things in the Spirit of God that are going to happen in the day of the Lord. Because besides being the gloom and the darkness and everything shaken, and by the way, you talk about shaking. I was down in California recently in trips dealing with taxes down there. Do you know California sent out IOUs for refunds for a long time on their state tax returns? Sent out refunds. I mean, IOUs. They didn't send out checks, just IOUs. And in Sacramento, there's a big tent city where the people who have lost their houses are living in tents. And by the way, the houses didn't go away, guys. I drove down some of the streets. They're still there. Wealth doesn't disappear. It just changes hands. Okay? Okay. In verse 5, chapter 13, Ezekiel. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Now, guys, oftentimes this verse is used about intercession. You know, filling in the gaps, making up the hedge. It's about the day of the Lord. It has to do with the day of the Lord. It has to do with battle. It has to do with Israel. Battle, Israel, day of the Lord. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1. I blow the trumpet in Zion. Okay? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, by the way, I ministered here some time ago a word on thick darkness. Remember that. And check it out online if you didn't hear that one. Okay? This is a day of thick darkness. As the morning, what? As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there has never been the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. It's a day of darkness, but it's also a day when the morning spreads upon the mountains, when the glory of the Lord shall arise. A great people, a strong, never any like it. Okay? Pick up those phrases about the day of the Lord. In Joel chapter 2, verse 11, and the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. His camp is very great, and He is strong that executeth His word. For the Lord, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Okay, something I want you to pick up as just as far as hints about the day of the Lord. There's a terrible aspect to it. There is a taking away of pride and trust and whatnot in the ability of the world to handle things and whatnot. But there's also a rising of the sun, there's a morning on the mountains, and there's an army. And in that day, the Lord utters His voice in front of His army. Onward, Christian. Marching as. You're kidding. War? We don't have to fight. Why did He give you armor in the first place?
Right.
Well, we're pacifists. We believe we're just going to. Jesus is going to do it. You know. You might have to stand up and fight. You might have to stand up for what you believe. Joel chapter 2, 31. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, for the remnant of the Lord shall call. Whom the remnant of the Lord shall call. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever heard that verse used in a message on soul winning? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, that verse is good for every day since Jesus came, you know. It's a good verse. But notice the context. It's concerning the day of the Lord. It's concerning the day of the Lord. Now, guys, we have been around a long time. And for a long time in my life, see, I've been saved for about 60 years right now. And we saw small churches and small growth. Only recently have we seen mega churches, you know, huge churches. And interestingly, one of the ministers of one of those mega churches just recently, within the last year or so, commented with regret that in the church they had not seen changed lives.
Right.
And that they were missing something.
Yeah.
Okay? But we have been around for a long time and not seen the harvest. But don't forget, there is a seed time and there is a harvest. And there is a time when God says, reap the earth, for the harvest of the earth is come. What are you trying to say, Ward? I'm trying to say, guys, that in the day of the Lord, there is going to be a harvest the like of which the world has never seen. In some countries, there's 1% or 2% Christian. I don't think the harvest is going to be 1% or 2%. I think in the day of the Lord, there is going to be a harvest. I'm getting excited about what is happening in the earth right now. I was talking with an Indonesian pastor down in Los Angeles just a couple of weeks ago. And he's going back to Indonesia. An American citizen, an Indonesian, yes. But he's talking about what God is doing in Indonesia. And he says, Ward, he says, over 1,500 Muslim clerics have had Jesus appear to them. Have had Jesus appear to them, and they have appealed to the Muslim government to allow an independent Muslim mosque to be an official mosque where Jesus is taught. Now, I sit there and I say, I don't know how God can reach Muslims. Jesus seems to say, no problem. No problem. I'm aware of a Bible college that's happening in the Lower Sudan, where for the past years they've been operating, where the Spirit of God is falling on these interns. You remember the Boys of the War camp? Lost Boys of the War? There's a Bible college there, guys, where the Holy Spirit is falling. Fantastic. They've had 800 men graduate a four-year college.
Wow.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. Who preach Christ from the Quran. And 1 year, he was telling me, 1 year in the camp, they had 1,200 converts. Why, the guys were going to Bible college. And I was visiting with him just this past week. My contact, he's not the only one, but my contact, the American contact that is working over there, he says, Ward, he says, I don't believe it. It appears that within 2 months, we're going to have $135 million grant to work in Africa.
Fantastic.
Where's the money coming from? He says, well, it evidently is coming out of Europe. It's drug money that they've not laundered, that they've sanctified somehow, and it's being released. It's being released in grants. He says it's a large part of what's happening is through a black community. He says, I told the guy, he says, I'm the only cracker in the barrel. But he says, we've got buildings. There's kits that we have with buildings that they can go to the desert. They blow up this thing, this like balloon thing. They put a concrete shell over it. It's bulletproof. It's stormproof. We can have huts and housing in so much time. He says, you will not believe the logistics that are happening in the underbelly of Muslim. Oh, a harvest. You say, really? Now, what would happen here in this church if God were to suddenly pour out His Spirit and you had 500 people get saved and come to the church next week?
Great.
Yes,
You see, Ward, what are you talking about? Now, if we're in the last days, if Jesus is coming and there's a harvest, Are you going to be part of it?
You bet.
Oh, hallelujah. You see? Let's get another verse. That was, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Guys, that's day of the Lord terminology. In Joel chapter 3, 13 to 14, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Listen to this. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, we've heard that verse many times with salvation, but when is it talking about? Yes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, come to the Lord today. Yes, but when there is a prophetic time, when this verse comes into the fullness of its time, and it comes in the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes. He's saying, but you know, we're supposed to build walls and protect ourselves so we can go to heaven, you and me and Brother Joe. Three of us. No, I think it's going to be different than that, guys. I think it's going to be different than that. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, in closing, I want to look at the five references that are in the New Testament. One, two, three, four, five, six. Did I miscount? There might be six. We'll adjust that. We're adjustable. Okay? In Acts chapter 2. Now, because the reason I think God gave us verses in the New Testament, because some people might say, well, wait a second, the day of the Lord is Old Testament. It's not for us. It's not about us. We're just waiting, you know, to sneak out of here and save our hides. But the day of the Lord is New Testament terminology also. In Acts chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The day of the Lord. Notice the terrible and the salvation are there. Same sentence talking about the day of the Lord. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul talking about correction. He says that they're going to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Interesting thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, as also you have acknowledged us in the past, that we are your rejoicing, even as you are ours, in the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord. Now, in the other three verses that are coming up, two are in, well, there are five, because the one I have earlier is one I've also got below here. So there are five references in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing that then that these things should be dissolved, what manner of people ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, a comment right there. When I was back in high school, and I was in a math science major, and I thought, wow, isn't it neat that in the Bible, when God talks about burning up the earth, He actually uses the word elements there, because I was studying the element chart, you know, the periodic chart of all the elements, And I thought, wow, isn't it neat that God knew about the elements even back in that day when they didn't know that there were elements. And so I got real excited and got my concordance out to study that Greek word to find out what God knew about back then. And I got a little bit of surprise because the elements that were melting was not oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen and ferrous, you know, iron or nickel or those kind of elements. You say, well, what elements were melting? Let me give you another verse where that is used. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. You say, well, elements isn't there. No, but rudiments is the same Greek word as elements in the other place. Oh, wait a second. He's not talking about the natural there. He's talking about philosophy and rudiments. I mean, the elementary things that make this world system run. Right. Guys, it's philosophy. It's the rudiments of the world that are going to melt. And not the nickel and the gold and the wood and the other stuff. You say, Ward, isn't the earth supposed to burn up? There's some fire that doesn't consume. There are coals that can touch your lips so that your lips can be pure. A verse that I had a hard time with because I came from a teaching that had my glasses ground to, I was looking for the world to burn up. A verse that I had a hard time, not a hard time with, I just had to adjust to. The earth is eternal. I'll just leave you with that one. That's a, check me out. See if that's so. Okay? But what, wait a second. The elements shall burn with fervent heat. The works shall end. The works will be burned up. What are we going to do? Verse 12. Looking and hastening for the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens are on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth. I'm looking for fire to come. I'm looking for fire to purify. I'm looking for fire to burn. Yes. Elements? Yes. Melt. Heavens? Yes. Burn. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, He makes all things new. Another thought, and we shall reign with Him on this earth. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Last verse. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now notice that the terrible aspect of the day of the Lord is there in 1 Thessalonians. Destruction shall come. What? Anything you trust in the natural will probably be taken away. You've seen a little bit of your 401k go. Would God still be God if it all were to go? Yeah. But we might have to trust the Lord. No, wait a second. When was that bad? But we had our future all planned. My ways are not your ways. But, how would you like to be Jeremiah, who got to prophesy the people? Go into captivity and stay there because you're going to be there for 70 years. Wouldn't that be a lovely message to preach? Okay. Verse 4. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not of the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Wait. What did you say? But you, brethren, are not of the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, and all the times I hear about Jesus coming back, and we don't know. And we don't know the hour. But you, brethren, are not of the darkness that day should overtake
right.
you as a thief.
That's right.
What? I thought he was going to sneak up on me. He's coming. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. But you're on the other side of the cloud. What? You, brethren, are not in the darkness. Where are you? You're in the light. One side was dark, this side was light. You're in the light. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us what? Let us who are of the day. Oh, I love that phrase. Me, I am of the day. When I think of the day of the Lord, I'm not of the night. I am of the day. I am of the day. But I feel confused. Come to the day. Don't stay in the night. Don't stay in the darkness. Come to the light. But I don't want to get, you don't want to give up what? Oh, my 401k. I'm holding on to it for all it's worth. Everything that can be shaken will be removed.
That's right.
And if you're holding on tightly to something that is in the process of being removed, I would suggest you let go. Lest you go with it. You follow me there?
Yeah.
Lord, if you take it, thank you. If you don't, thank you for that too. But whether, what was it Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and I'll bless the Lord when he giveth. No, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, God, for what I am enjoying. But I realize, God, that it is not mine. You are the Lord. You own everything. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth in every mine. Now, 1,000, by the way, is an interesting number. It's an exact number that means an indefinite amount. Say what? It's an exact number that means an indefinite amount. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means he doesn't own the cattle on 1,001 hills. No, he owns the cattle on 1,001st hill too. But 1,000 hills means it's a representative number that everything's covered. Okay, he owns all the cattle on all the hills. But he didn't say all the cattle on all the hills. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. But that 1,000 stands for everything. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now, 1,000 years is a different message. Okay. Okay. You are not children of the night, but children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day. I like that. I'm of the day. I'm of the day. I'm of the day. That is a confession you need to get into your spirit. I am of the day. I am of the day. The day of the Lord. I am of the day. The day of the Lord is coming. I am of the day. I am of the day. If there's fear coming, I am of the day. Get to the other side of the cloud. Guys, use that thought for wisdom in these days. Because you're going to be shaken. I mean, your life is going to go through turmoil. You can lose your retirement. You might lose your home. I am of the day. I trust in the Lord. If you don't, hallelujah. If you do, so what? I had a guy in our church over in Spokane one time. He got laid off. He got a pink slip. This is back when it was happening not quite as largely as it is now. He came into my office feeling bad. He said, I just got my pink slip. I said, oh, hallelujah. He looked at me and he said, I said, think of the gift that God has given you. You have time off. You always wanted more time. Now use it. Spend it with your wife. Spend it with your kids. Spend time looking for a job, yes. You know, put enough fruit in sowing into that field that it's, you know, you're doing a good work there. But then think of all the widow ladies in the church that need help. They need a refrigerator fixed or a stove fixed or a back porch mended or whatnot. I said, get busy and fix those things. Take your son with you and fix them. Enjoy this time. You've got time off and you're not so worn out that you can't do something. Hallelujah. Make the devil so mad at what you're doing that he'll get you back to work just to get you occupied with something else. You say, but I'm going through... You're not going through something bad. I don't care what happens to you. You're not going through something bad. You're going through something that was ordered of God for you to build character of something inside of you. You can walk through it with the glory of God. You can walk through it with the grace of God. You can walk through it with the joy of God. Hallelujah. If you're in a wheelchair, hallelujah. Glory to God. What an opportunity. Isn't that wonderful? Been there, done that. Hallelujah. Just not soon not do it again, Lord, but hallelujah. Glory in tribulations. Huh? Does that sound scriptural?
Sure.
Glory in tribulations. I thought we weren't going through the tribulation. You won't go through the tribulation if there's nothing left in you to tribulate. But if there's something in you that's left to tribulate, maybe God will put the fire on enough to bring it to the surface to get rid of it. Oh, hallelujah. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And wait a second. And for a helmet. For what? For a helmet, the hope of salvation. Helmet? He doesn't go in through it now, but there's armor for the body of Christ. Armor? Yeah, for what? Because the body of Christ is an army. And there's coming a day when the Lord will utter His voice in front of His army, which is exceedingly great. Army? Day of the Lord? Yeah. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ. He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain a salvation. Oh, hallelujah. You say, the day of the Lord's coming. It's great. It's terrible. Yeah, guys, you'll find all the scriptures on the gloom and the heaviness. But there's the other side of the cloud. There's the other side of the cloud. There's the harvest side. There's the harvest of the earth. There's the sickle. Put you in the sickle and reap the harvest. There is the army. There is the mourning spread upon the mountains. There is all of that in the day of the Lord. There are multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision. Now Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do also. and greater works than these will you do. I believe that. And I believe that there's an outpouring coming upon the church where we're going to have to call to the other fisher boats. The nets are going to be so full that we'll have to call the other boats and say, come and help us. Can you imagine what would happen to churches if a church would call another church and say, you've got to take some of these souls. There's too many being saved in our boat. We're getting too many fish. Come help us. There's more than we can handle. Come help us. You say, is that possible? It is when the harvest of the earth comes in. Now, guys, let that get into your spirit. The harvest of the earth. The harvest of the earth. He's waiting patiently for the harvest of the earth. Well, he's going to be satisfied with 2%, maybe 3% out of the earth. And he's just going to be happy that that many held on to the end. I don't think so. I don't think so. The world looked black. The world looked dark. Israel was in captivity. But the fullness of time came. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. And the Word became flesh. And there was a sun that rose in Israel. A day star arose. And Jesus shook the earth. Guys, he's coming again. And the day of the Lord is coming. And there's two sides to it. What side of the cloud are you experiencing now? What side of the cloud are you experiencing now? If your heart is in fear, if you're in unrest, if you're worried, take a deep breath and head to the other side of the cloud. Head to the other side of the cloud and just start worshiping Him. Saying, oh, Lord Jesus, come. We love Your appearing. We look for You, O Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Father, there's more seed here than even I am aware of. It's Your Word that's powerful, and it's Your Word that is fruitful. Father, let this Word go into our hearts. We wonder what's going to happen in our generation. We wonder about our nation. We wonder, Lord, about so many things, about the finances and the other things that are at work. But, oh God, You're working in ways that we don't know about and ways we haven't seen. And, Father, make us sensitive to Your Spirit so that we will be quick to respond to Your Spirit and obedient to Your Spirit. Let us be keen, Father, on hearing the voice of God in our inner man. That we will be obedient, Father, when You say, turn right, turn left, go here, go there. The Father will be a people that respond to Your voice. Utter Your voice in front of Your army. God, we want to hear Your voice. Now let this Word go deep and let it bring forth fruit, Father. Stir our minds and our hearts and our spirits with Your Word. And minister to us, we ask. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Pastor Kevin.
Rich again, amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. How many need to move to the other side of the cloud? Sometimes it's easy to look on the fearful side, isn't it? Especially when the news is what it is all day long. But what are we to aim on? See Jesus face to face. He's going to take care of His people as we trust in Him. We're not going to put our trust in false things that don't satisfy. Anybody finding out the world doesn't satisfy as much as it maybe even used to? Amen. God's good. Thank you again for coming. Rich. It's always Rich, isn't it? Pastor Lord Jesus. Let's stand. Father, bless your people this day as we go forward with joy and enthusiasm, knowing that, Lord, we can see you face to face. We can be on the right side of this cloud. We love you, and we thank you that you first loved us. Bless these people who've come early this day to spend time worshiping you. We go forward with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord needs to touch you even further in your body, you need physical healing, we'll be up here to pray for you. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, I urge you to do so. And this will be a great day of celebration.